Okay, wait. Did you turn up on your machine?
Do you want me to turn it up?
Because I instinctively just hit the,
I appreciate
hit the potentiometer. So I was going to crank it back down if you were turning it up on
No,
yours.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
All right.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life with cables. My name is Brock Dennis.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, fresh hops. With fresh dudes.
What kind of hops?
Fresh hops.
What kind of dudes?
Fresh dudes.
Sweaty dudes.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe not so fresh.
We are here with Eric Iverson and Ross Putnam.
Howdy, y'all.
Hello.
Yes, Eric is the man about town. He's our friend who is associated with Grilled by Bike. And not only associated, really, he associated everybody else with Grilled by Bike.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, and Ross is from Base Camp Brewing, among other pursuits, and the inventor, the founder of the Fresh Hop Century.
Co-founder.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome.
Right. Right. But
credit where credit's due.
Indeed. Who was the other founder?
Philip Ross.
Okay, of course. That makes sense. Well, of Metro Feats.
Correct.
Who is not here, but he makes amazing cargo bikes, and those are the bikes that carry what kind of hops?
Fresh hops.
This is how punchy I was at the end of the Fresh Hop Century. So we're going to talk
and
about...
And in neither instance have you had any alcohol.
No. Well, wait. No. I had tons of alcohol.
Oh, you did at
the... On the Fresh Hop Century?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
I specifically planned my Sober September to
around
start after the Fresh Hop Century.
Good planning.
Very much appreciated.
Yeah. No, I was... I may have been... Now, again, we do not advocate... piloting any vehicle.
The operation of a vehicle while under the influence of any drug, alcohol,
that's right.
or otherwise, is illegal in
that's
most
right.
states. Check with your local state and statutes.
So, I'll just say that I had a great time on the Fresh Hop Century. So, we are here. We're doing another show this week. It's a new week.
Yeah.
What's up?
It's a new week. It's a new you.
Yes.
Well, it's the same. Well, I mean, on a molecular level, I guess.
What, every 7 years or something, right?
Right.
I am the same person, sort of, that I was at least 6 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I went bike camping
yeah,
this weekend.
You went on a trip.
Yeah. We did, you know, Adele organizes these Dream Team bike camping trips from time to time.
Yeah.
And so, I was on a trip of that nature with her and some friends. And it turned out this is a really small one. Adele talked, I think, last year about how she was not always excited about coordinating, like, the groove dynamics or whatever, like, you know, just logistics and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so she had somebody else take care of that. But we went out with our friends Evan and Stephanie, and we rode to Stubbs Stewart State Park, did about a 50-mile ride out, 50-mile ride back, one day out, one day back. And we spent the night there, and it was lovely. We made hamburgers over a fire on a cast iron pan.
How was that?
It was fantastic. It was really good. You don't eat meat.
I do not.
But I don't usually eat meat either, especially when camping, because meat is scary, and I worry about what grows inside of it. But we got some ground beef and made hamburger patties, and I will say that a bacon cheeseburger after a long bike ride cooked over a fire is pretty great.
Yeah.
So now we know it's possible. So that was what we did. But we stayed up kind of later on the campfire. Stubbs Stewart has the communal fire rings, so... You meet whoever is camping in the site with you. And I ended up meeting listener EJ.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And he's super rad. And so are his friends. So,
oh, great.
Yeah. So we hung out with them. Actually, our friends that we biked out there, they went to bed pretty early because they were pretty pooped. And we ended up going out with a bang that night because there was so much firewood at the campfire ring.
Really cool.
Yeah. And so we ended up, we met, who was it? Adam from Tillamook. Was also there. We met him. He was going mountain biking for not the first time, but he's like kind of a beginner mountain biker, I think he said. And so he was just checking out the trails at Stubbs Stewart. And have either of you guys done the trails at Stubbs Stewart?
Yeah.
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 What are they like?
Pretty solid. I haven't done all of them, but listener Josh Ropo
took
me on quite a few of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it it was in the spring, so there was still some kind of crusty snow and ice, which made it fun.
That's exciting.
But yeah, we did some of the easier ones, because there are some technical ones there with, ramps and jumps and whatnot.
Right.
But we were riding kind of non-trail mountain bikes. So that's my excuse to why we did the easy ones.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, perfect. Fun.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So we met Adam. So if Adam is listening, we gave him a sticker. And EJ is definitely listening. So EJ, what's up?
Hey,
good to meet you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And he just became a new donor too.
Yeah.
So thank you, EJ. We'll get to all that stuff in the mail. But it was cool to meet him. He was like, "Hey, I thought I recognized your voice." So, So that was a good trip. I was worn out by the end of it.
You guys did the West Hills.
We did.
You didn't
we went over
the shortcut that most people would do.
Yeah, because it's easy to get there by taking the Max to Hillsboro, and then it's like a 20-mile ride. And it's fairly easy. It's like a...
It's mostly flat at that
point. Gently sloping at the end, yeah. But
honestly, like, I recommend to anybody, especially
for sure.
Like, you got to work on Friday.
That's the only way I've done it.
See?
But it makes it super accessible, yeah. So you take the light rail. If you have a standard-sized bicycle, TriMet's still a curmudgeon when it comes to, like, cargo bikes or whatever, sadly. But we don't need them. We can ride over the West Hills. So anyways.
Did you bring a trailer with you?
Cause No, this time I did not.
You used to do that, like, especially going out to Stubb Stewart, you would carry firewood with you.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. I ended up, I kind of convinced the camp host to deliver the firewood this time around. They drove the little gator from the RV site, and
they drove
it like a mile with all the firewood. I could have probably carried it, but I didn't want to.
Right.
So. Yeah, but that was it. So, and it was sober September, so I had 6 O'Douls.
Oh, right. Yes.
Those are non-alcoholic beers. I like the taste of beer, even if I can't drink actual beer.
And we just found out how non-alcoholic beer is produced.
Yeah. You guys know about this?
No.
Apparently, if they make non-alcoholic beer, they make beer first, and then they like boil the alcohol off of it or
something.
Like
pasteurize it.
Yeah. So
I think it's the same with coffee too, right?
Is that right with decaf?
They start with, yeah, I mean, yeah. There's no decaffeinated beans, right? So you have to start with caffeinated beans.
And yeah, and decaf coffee really isn't decaf, much like non-alcoholic beer is not non-alcoholic. It's reduced alcohol.
Right.
And or reduced caffeine.
Yeah.
In coffee.
Right. So O'Doul's, as with most non-alcoholic beers, they claim that it is less than 0.5% alcohol.
Right.
So at 72 ounces of O'Doul's,
that's
I
like
consumed
one beer
third.
At 3%.
I guess that's it, huh? Yeah, I had one third.
Is that like a light beer, like a Miller Lite?
That's like one light beer.
One third of an ounce. I still think it's not cheating, right?
It's like a mix.
Well, I mean, you had that over the course of 6 beers.
Right.
Like, you probably, I mean, if I can be a little bit crass here, you probably pissed out more... You know, as you're taking it in.
Yes,
like,
I did.
You probably didn't have all of that in your system at one time.
And I'm highly offended. It's very crass. But
the point is, it's really hard to get drunk off of O'Doul's.
You have to drink a lot of it. No, I had one third of an ounce of actual alcohol, I think. So, there it is. I guess, NyQuil has more than that, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well,
not sure.
There's been changes to NyQuil, right?
Oh, really? So you can't get like the good stuff anymore?
Maybe it's the ephedrine.
Or was it ever the good
stuff? The ephedrine content or pseudephedrine.
Yeah, you got to go to Washington for that.
That's right. What I hear.
Yeah.
It's like different states have different levels
but
of what they
maybe
allow.
Not the alcohol content in there?
Right. I think the alcohol content is kind of
still
the same. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And I'm sure you could probably get like a natural cough syrup or something or a natural sleep aid, nighttime liquid.
I think that's called Old Crow.
Old Crow, yeah. That's stronger than NyQuil. And make your own. Just give me some whiskey and some camphor or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So anyways, that was what I did this weekend.
That's
I feel
awesome.
Pretty good. I'm real beat. Today was a really hot day too. I think
it
was hot on the way out, hot on the way back. And so, yeah, I'm pooped.
Yeah. I mentioned my bus doesn't have AC.
Oh, right. That you drive for work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on the way to the school on my afternoon run, it was just torture.
We're not used to it because we had all that rain last week.
Yeah, really cooled everything off,
and now we're used to it being cold, so when the hot comes back it's like I'm burning.
It was like a pretend fall.
Yeah,
like 1 week of like, oh, fall's here. Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And well, it'll be back. Yeah, it is actually autumn now, So that's
it cool. is. That's true. That happened, what, Friday?
Something like that. Yeah. But it was still fresh. Speaking of fresh,
fresh and hops. Yes.
And also speaking of air conditioning, how about the beer mongers?
How about, oh, yes. How about the beer mongers?
You guys know the beer mongers.
We all were there today. The beer mongers. All of us together at one
point. Yeah. Yeah. We bumped into you guys before another obligation, and here we all are again. But the beer mongers, Southeast Division and 12th, they do have air conditioning.
And they currently have fresh hops on tap.
They do, yeah. What do you guys, we had a couple things that we found.
I'm currently drinking on the Stormbreaker Right as Rain with Galaxy Dry Hop Special.
Nice. So not fresh hop then, dry hop.
So it's fresh but dry. A fresh hop, dry hop, and we can get more into the intricacies of dry hopping schedules later
True. Yeah, true. Yeah.
I'm drinking the Gilgamesh Fresh Prince single tier. Pour one out.
Oh, nice.
Fresh hop IPA. It's
Is the Fresh Prince dead?
Oh, wait. It's just the regular Prince.
No, regular Prince.
The Fresh Prince.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still kicking.
I don't know my princes that well.
Oh, it's all good.
Oh, I thought that was a reference to Obama or something. Since he's not going to be president much longer.
Oh, I was going to say.
A little poor for him.
Cue the spin doctors.
Oh, speaking of which. Big night in politics tonight.
Yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
I'm so happy that we're here watching the debates. Right,
the death throes of democracy.
Which makes me think of the beer mongers because they show all live sporting events. With
sound. And so,
except
yes.
for tonight.
Well, it's, I mean, is it?
They are going to play it. They're playing.
They're playing the.
All live sporting events.
Totally. So we were trying to convince them that they should play the debates on mute. Because they were talking about how body language is more so an indicator than what's actually coming out of their mouths. And so it'd be pretty fun just to watch these two people up there
gesticulating.
Yeah.
You can't see what I'm doing right now, but doing this thing.
Kind of a hurgity-burgity with the arms. Yeah. What if they played the debate video, but they played audio from a Timbers game?
Fantastic.
That would be great.
Fantastic.
That would be fantastic.
Anything but what's actually what they're saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we're not a political show. Everyone knows me as being highly apolitical. But yeah. But it's happening.
But,
and
I mean,
you're
you can't deny that it's a thing.
Right. Right. So in four years, if you want to go to the beer mongers and see a presidential debate, you can.
Right.
Or if you have a time machine, you want to go to yesterday. And see the debate, you can. At the Beer Mongers, the Southeast Division.
Because this is digitized, right? Who knows when you're listening to this?
Right, right. No, this the Beer Mongers accepts both people from the present and time travelers from the future.
Because how would you know? They're probably already there. I mean, of course they were because...
Right.
Do they have a special door for time travelers at the Beer Mongers?
Well, it's a bigger one. It rolls up. Yeah. So you can fit the time machine.
I always go through the small one.
Sometimes even when the big door is rolled up, I still open the small door.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just because it seems like you don't want to squeeze too closely to that person sitting next to the cool breeze.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyways, the Beer Mongers, Southeast Division and 12th. Aaron, what did you do this week?
What did I do this week? I can't think of anything interesting that I did.
Uh-huh.
I'm nailing down plans to go to Hawaii.
Oh soon. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, little brother's getting married.
Oh,
that's pretty awesome.
Congratulations, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah.
You met Aaron's brother.
Yep. Wait, you're going, aren't you?
Possibly.
Yeah.
That'd be so great.
Yeah, Iverson just showed up in Hawaii, right? You were looking for something to do.
Yeah. And I hit you up beforehand because you said your brother lives there and you should stop by the bar. Ended up hanging
out. And not only did you stop by the bar, but now I have two brothers out there and they just treated you to everything.
Oh, yeah. I was there for work, and they gave me a ride to work one day. I was like, really? Like, I couldn't pay for this through work. Like, you don't have to do this. Like, no, we got it.
That's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah.
Wait, did Great Dan hospitality. Drive?
Yeah, Dan drove. And we talked about...
driving?
Well, I'd say it was really good, but he was a little bit distracted about telling me all about, really complicated mathematics.
Okay, gotcha. physics and theory.
Yeah, and I was trying to ask intelligent questions. I don't know if I got there at all, but
you were asking questions nonetheless.
I think that's Dan's curse is that he's a really friendly guy, so he's surrounded by people of all walks of life, but that also means the majority of people here on this planet don't think about math on that level. And so he's always in a car with somebody explaining higher math to people who don't understand.
You should ask him about dividing by zero.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great conversation.
I heard that one, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you're going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he's my brother. You of course to. I'm going to go.
Out
yeah.
of obligation.
Yeah.
And out of camaraderie.
Yeah.
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 Very cool.
Yeah. So well, nailing down those plans. It's going to be after Portland's spring break.
So you have to ask for time
so
off.
So I have to ask for time off at like probably a sort of crucial time in the school calendar. Like you
every
know,
time is a crucial time.
Right. Of
Are you
course,
saying that learning yeah. is unimportant at some time of the year? The educational well, system just, only functions you know, highly at one point.
You know, just workplace politics. Like people tend to call off after a long vacation.
Oh, right.
Anyway.
Right. So they're going to think that you like hit the bottle really hard on Sunday. Yeah. And Monday he's like, I'm going to see my brother to get married. Right. Yeah, of course
I
you
dare,
are.
Classic I dare Flores. Everybody. Yeah, I dare everybody to say that.
Is it the week after spring break?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, yeah.
So, like,
so you get a mega vacation.
Our spring break starts, you know, on the 25th, which is that Saturday, you know, and then goes that whole next week. My brother's wedding, this is the 25th of March. My brother's wedding is the 2nd of April, which is a Sunday. So you know, I'm not going to like just go to the wedding and then like report for work Monday morning.
Yeah. Unless you like, yeah.
If you ask for it 5 months out,
yeah.
I think
oh,
you're
yeah,
like
totally,
pretty good.
Totally.
It seems like it should make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I'm not worried about whether or not I'm getting the time off. I'm mostly worried, and this is really dumb, about like how it's perceived.
How dare you have a life outside
right.
of work?
Right.
I can't believe you have family and stuff. No, that's cool, man. That'll be fun.
No, I'm really excited. And Anna's coming with.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's going to be really awesome. Yeah,
I think you need to take a recorder with you.
Why?
Not for the wedding.
Just so you can ask your brother about dividing by zero.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Just, well, then I'm just going to like leave the recorder at his table and walk away.
Perfect. That'll be an episode this. like number and B.
Yeah. It's a good thing that Ted gave us that extra SD card.
Seriously, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're thank you, Ted. That's right. Because you met up with him.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Did an exchange. I walked up to the table with our SD card and I placed it on the table. We met at this coffee house on 23rd, the name escapes
was
me.
Was it Vivace Coffee?
Yes, it was.
Dude, I was there on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, yeah, walked up there. He lives like right across the street.
Oh, nice.
That's why. I placed the thing on, placed the card on the table, you know, no context whatsoever, and just said,
boom.
After this job, I'm out.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Ted, because that allows us to record things.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing right now. So, yeah. Eric, you you had an adventure in Idaho sometime back, right? Is that where the...
No.
No.
Well, yeah, I did, but this was in Minneapolis.
Different adventure. Okay, in Minneapolis you had an adventure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Bad context.
Yeah, no worries.
Should we set that up again?
Yeah, well, so...
Let's back it up. Eric, you were in Minneapolis and you had an adventure recently.
That's right. I did, Brock. Thanks for asking. So, yeah, I was in town for a good buddy who's... name is also Eric. It was his wedding reception, and so at the same weekend was this cool race there called the Powderhorn 24.
Powderhorn,
yeah. So Powderhorn is a neighborhood in South Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
And it's a 24-hour race. I'm doing the air quotes.
Air
right
quotes.
Now.
Okay.
It's not a race.
It's a race.
Kind of like the Lads 500. It's not a race.
It's a relay.
Yeah.
Right on.
So, yeah, it's cool because the wedding reception was just at a brewery. It was just like 3 hours, very low key. The wedding already happened. So that gave us time to do this race. So a couple
nice.
Of people in the wedding and some other friends did this race. And, it was a really cool race. It's more of a community event.
Okay.
They call it a round-the-clock community ride, and it's something that should definitely happen here. Maybe we should do a call to action.
Oh, there we go, so early. Hang on.
Yeah.
I'm not prepared. Yes, but this is a community ride.
Yeah.
So people are into it.
It's a community ride in a certain neighborhood. It started, it was based off one in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the River West neighborhood.
Can you say that again?
The land.
Milwaukee.
The land of many waters.
Yes, thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was really cool. I was glad to take part of it. I think it was like the fourth year that happened in Minneapolis.
Okay.
It's been going on in Milwaukee for a while. And the gist of it is it's just a way to get the community and neighborhood together on some weekend. And basically it's a 24-hour race. You can do it in teams of you know, male, female, mixed gender, or solo.
Nice. So solo is an option.
Correct. And
that's for you, Nathan Jones.
That's right, the Nathan Jones rule.
Just bring two bikes.
Yeah. So yeah, it was like a 5-mile loop. I would kind of compare it to like Southeast Portland.
Okay.
It was pretty flat.
Flat. Grid-based. Yep.
Grid-based. It's a rectangle, and then at each corner of the rectangle, there's checkpoints. So that's how they keep you accountable.
You can't cheat.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you can, but you don't get to go through the checkpoint.
Right. So yeah, it was just relay based, and you could do however many laps at a time you wanted over the 24-hour period. Sort of like started at 7 p.m. and then finished the next day at 7 p.m.
That's kind of exciting. So how long did you ride for the whole 24?
Yeah, we... No.
No, okay.
No. Well, part of it was because a couple of us had to go to the wedding, so we had to split up shifts in order to make it to the wedding reception.
Oh, yeah. But you had people that were not...
Correct.
Part of the wedding thing.
Yep.
So they could ride when you were there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. So some of the cool aspects about it were they had these bonus laps.
Oh, really?
And a bonus lap was just like an extra checkpoint off of this rectangular grid. And every hour there was a checkpoint that you could go to. And each checkpoint you went to, you'd get two extra bonus laps. Again, it's not a race, but everyone
right.
was fucking racing.
For legal purposes, this is just a fun event.
That's right, right. Allegedly, they were racing, and so were we. But yeah, so they had really, and that's kind of how it brought the community into it, because they'd have local businesses and organizations hosting these bonus laps. So, for example, one of them I went to was Letterpress by Bike.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So it was a Yuba Longtail Mundo. And they had a letter press mounted to it.
Those things are heavy.
Making spoke cards. Yeah, I mean,
really?
That's got to be 50 pounds or something.
Yeah.
So you'd roll up to this bike, which was off course, and you would do the letter press and then put it in your spokes, and they'd get your team number, and away you go.
That's cool.
That's fantastic.
But some of the other ones were they had yoga. So you do yoga for 10 minutes. They had a city mural where you got to help paint a mural. One awesome one is this local... taco by bike company called Taco Cat.
Nice. And which is a palindrome.
That's right. And so you'd, I believe you, I didn't go to this one, but you'd make a taco and give it to the next person who shows
really?
Up. Yep. Another one, they didn't have this year, but a previous year I heard you could get a tattoo for like 20 bonus laps. So,
yeah. That's what Aaron would be doing. Seriously.
I don't know. Like,
free tattoo.
If I get to choose the tattoo, maybe.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Were the bonus laps to other parts then? So you have the standard course, the 5-mile course, and
yeah.
then the bonus laps were
to typically,
other places?
Yeah, they were typically within a 0.5 mile of the course.
Okay.
So it wouldn't put you out too much.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Because that involves like lots of like businesses are a big part of the communities. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
And then if you did all the bonus laps, you get extra bonus laps, and there's all this stuff. But it was really cool because the neighborhood really embraced it since it's been going on for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So you've got family. There are families competing. I mean, it was all ages, all types of bikes. One of the coolest things I saw was someone on a bike pulling a flatbed trailer with a guy just sitting in a regular chair playing guitar.
Oh, yeah.
They were doing laps with that.
You posted was it a picture or a video of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Video, yeah.
That's really cool.
Didn't see any tall bikes, but there are a lot of fat bikes. The fat bikes are pretty huge in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
There was a solo unicycle rider.
Okay. I was going to ask if there was any unicycles.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't make it though. I guess there were some taint issues, but
well, I would imagine it's a big problem when you're riding a unicycle by yourself, like trying to do 24 hours on a unicycle. It's hard enough on a bicycle where you can actually like shift your weight and stuff.
Yeah.
But a unicycle.
Yeah. I can't imagine. But so, you know, kind of bringing the growth by bike, style into it. We weren't actually grilling at all per se, but we were camped out on the course. That's another cool thing is like a lot of people camp out on the course.
Oh yeah.
So there's a couple of greenways, which were old, rail trails.
Totally.
Oh, cool.
That everyone just camped out, and there's vendors and food and everything. And, but we were camped in some, buddy's front yard, And so we set up a lawn chair and attached just every bike light we had to it, blinking nice. At night.
Yeah.
And we're just doing like whiskey hand ups and
perfect
PBR hand ups. Nice. And then we ran out of booze and we're giving away like pickles and Cheez-Its. And
there you go. Pickle hand up. Yeah.
So there's a lot of that going around. Like, so when you're doing these laps, it's just really fun the whole time because you're constantly like interacting with people cheering or
right.
kids giving out lemonade and yeah, really fun. So
what time did you ride?
I did 7 till 9 p.m. and then 7 till 9 a.m. And I think we were partying till maybe 4.
Nice.
So I got up, and it felt like I was going to work hungover. I'm just like, well, this is the thing I got to do, and I'm just going to like get my body in motion to do this thing. And I'm just like not enjoying it at all.
What were you riding?
I bought a buddy's bike. It was just some sort of steel single speed.
Okay. So not you didn't bring one from here?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we did get eighth place.
Nice.
Our team name was Small Gears.
Small Gears.
And long, or Tall Beers. Small Gears, Tall Beers. Eighth place.
Nice.
And there was, cool. Yeah, there's over 100 teams. So.
Yeah. Wow,
it's a pretty big event.
Well, yeah, 10. For out of 100. That's yeah. amazing.
Well, we got, yeah, eighth overall, but some solo guys beat us, which
okay.
really kind of was amazing.
Well, but they don't have to stop and like hand off or whatever. It's if true. It's a relay.
Yeah. Yeah. There was this couple on a tandem that, and it was like a fat tire, not fat tire, but maybe, you know, 2.5, 2.75 inch
real
tires.
Real wide tire.
So like they, mountain tires.
They made noise when they were yeah. passing me every time. And yeah, they just killed it. And then there was like tons of messengers that were just crushing it on single speeds.
Because nice.
There was really no elevation at all. So you could really.
Yeah. That sounds that. Heavenly. Like just to be able to ride your bike and not worry about climbing a hill. Just
yeah.
ride on a flat.
You just know what you're going to get.
And it was
doesn't
all, yeah.
All, doesn't exist here.
All right turns.
Oh, so it's the so opposite could, of lads.
So you could, yeah.
Whoa.
Well. Yeah, it was tough at first, yeah. Did I go left? Where did
you retrain your brain.
Yeah.
Okay, so call to action.
Somebody in Portland do this event. They'll share their logistics and website and scoring either from the Milwaukee crew or the Minneapolis crew. But somebody start this event. It's not going to be me, but I'll help. Do it.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome. Well, that's like when Armando wanted to do a family bike scout.
Yes.
Because Bike Scout is a super cool event, but it's also, it's kind of like adult and beer focused in
definitely.
A lot of ways. And so,
in fact, there was a team that couldn't party at the end spot because it was a 21 and over spot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So family Bike Scout. And also, what would you call this one?
It was definitely family friendly with a heavy theme on adults partying.
Sure. So, I mean, yeah. if we were to
the
name
10
the
10 o'clock
one
show is different than the 9 o'clock.
And there were like, there are plenty of people who just, like the guy's house we were staying at, they had a, you know, like a medium-sized baby. I'm not sure how old it was. But
of regulation size.
Yeah. And so he was just doing solo, and he rode from, you know, 7 till midnight the first night. Then he slept for 6 hours and rode a little bit the next day. So, like, you can do whatever you want.
Not yeah. bad. Not bad. Do you have an idea if there was an event like this in Portland, what you would name it?
No, I do not.
Because if you name it, you have to do it.
Yes. I'm glad I don't have a name.
It's called No, I Do Not.
Well, thisrocketpodcast@gmail.com is where you might send submissions. If you're interested in starting this, we'll definitely give you moral support, and we'll see what our schedules look like.
Hey, but this would be great for the 24-hour podcast episode.
Oh,
actually.
Totally. Yeah.
And know what you could do is have the checkpoints be near bike town stations.
Oh, yeah.
There happens to be one right by beer mongers.
Nice.
But then you could do laps within your half an hour limit.
Oh, sure. Right? Bike share.
Yeah.
That totally.
So you get a bike share team.
That's actually.
Those bikes are really fast.
What if we could get Nike on board with this? Except Nike doesn't care. They don't run the bike share. They just brand it.
Yeah, they just shell the money out.
Right, right. So whoever runs the bike share, then we should talk to them and be like, hey, this is going to happen. Hope you're cool with it.
You should help us make it happen.
Exactly.
You can buy a 24-hour pass, right?
I think you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never looked into
but
the
logistics. But you have to lock it up every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So that could be an obstacle in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, this screams, what, let's have a race. Or an exercise.
Relay, yeah.
I think it'd be really fun to see what Portland came up with in terms of this. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Nice. Well, that's awesome. Thank you for having that adventure. I hope you have more.
Yeah, I'm glad to have that adventure and share it with y'all.
I do like that you travel and you have adventures while you travel, because some people travel for business and they just like stay in a hotel and like watch television or whatever. And that's not quite your style.
No, I was like to try to get some biking in, hit the bike share. I was in Idaho for work recently and did some mountain biking.
Yeah, I apologize for the mix up.
You can't keep up with Eric's adventures. It's just constantly going.
So speaking of another thing that didn't happen in Idaho. There's a century to get what kind of hops?
Fresh hops.
Yes. The fresh hop century, of which we all took part, which was super exciting. It was a good time. I really enjoyed it. And well, we already told our half of it, but why don't you tell your half of it? Because you guys did the actual ride out during the day.
Yeah, so this is the third year of the fresh hop century.
What kind of hops?
Fresh hops.
It's getting more and more enthused every time you do it.
So it all started, I guess, maybe, 3 years ago. I was talking to my buddy Philip Ross with Metrofeeds Cargo Bikes. And, you know, with all good ideas, they start over some beers. And I was telling him about this this next thing that's coming up. And in some parts of the world, we just happen to be lucky to be living in one of them. Every year they have a hop harvest. And the Willamette Valley produces a crazy amount of hops for the beer world. Goshi Farms is located about 50 miles south of here. And he was saying, like, well, is it possible to get the hops by bike? I was like, well, yeah, I mean, it's 50 miles away. It's just a matter of riding cargo bikes down there, right?
And how many bikes you got?
Yeah, totally. And so we started like planning this thing, and the first year was hilariously unplanned and resulted in a failure, not due to planning. However, it was we got rained out about 35 miles into our trip. We tried doing a one-day venture down to the hop farms and then coming back that night. And in hindsight, it's kind of lucky that we got turned around when we did, because it turns out when you're riding cargo bikes, you can't make the time that you think you can.
Right.
All of a sudden, 10 miles an hour is like screaming.
Right.
Big, heavy bikes move super slow.
So we're like, well, if we do, 100 miles, like we could do it like in a day, and, it's going to be tough, but, whatever. So we got rained out the first year. Then it happened again the second year, last year, and we made it an overnight trip. So we found this farm, a separate farm, not Goshi Farm. It's called Gearcrest Farm. They do livestock and vegetables, and it's actually the second oldest operational farm in Oregon. One of our early governors, I believe in the late 1800s, T.T. Gear.
Right.
He lived in this farm, and it's an 8-mile commute from the farm to the state capital in Salem. And he would ride his bike from his farm down to the capital. And that's just the way in which he chose to commute.
It's a badass ride because it's up on a hill.
Yeah.
It's an enormous hill.
Yeah. That last 5 miles is tough.
Yeah.
And so we met these really great people. Shout out to Kayla and Adam and all the fine folks there at Gearcrest. They graciously hosted us. And I think the first year, and I think probably still they think we're a little bit crazy. Just like,
oh, sure.
Who are you? You're just riding these crazy bikes down to, they're like, each one of them is what, like 8 feet long
or more. Yeah.
Yeah, they carry upwards of 400 pounds worth of a rider and cargo. And so it's not just like any ordinary bike. So anyways, long story short, we met with these really great people. They hosted us and they showed us around their farm, and we became friends over the years. This last year was the first, I would say, like legit group ride that we did. We, actually planned it out. We went and we planned the route. We invited a bunch of really awesome people to join us on this thing. I think there was ultimately 18.
18 riders.
Yeah. 18
total.
Riders and
16 or
15 or 16 cargo bikes.
Yeah.
And so the majority of us left. We met at VeloCult at 6 a.m. on a Friday morning. It's Labor Day weekend.
It's early on a Friday morning.
Totally. Yeah, it was really early. Still dark out, actually. And so we met there. We got some coffee. We got some breakfast burritos. We got everybody situated on our bikes. And we, of course, took the annual cargo bike group photo outside of VeloCult with their awesome mural in the back.
The 8-bit mural.
Totally. And then we rolled out from there. The first segment of the ride, which you guys missed, is it's a tough segment. It's about a mile downhill to the brewery. Where we stop and load up on beers. And
so you gotta have that.
we coasted down Sandy Boulevard, which was really great because it's not too often you see 16 cargo bikes rolling down Sandy Boulevard at 7 in the morning.
At rush hour, yeah.
Yeah.
What a sight.
Yeah. And so we you know, took the lane and we were cruising along in traffic and it was really great. And then we stopped off at the brewery. We got 12 ounce beers for the trip.
Nice.
And we got loaded up and took our group shotgun beer outside of the brewery.
and by shotgun you mean you cocked it into the gun.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
prepared
totally.
It for firing.
Prepare to ride. yeah. Like, and then we started setting forth down south. We ended up So Philip and I did a kind of a recon mission to really get a good ride set. And it turns out that one thing I was unaware of that happened in the past year was they opened up this trolley trail through Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And we just kind of by happen chance were riding and we got on that and just rode it forever. Well, not forever, for like 20 miles. That's a really great ride.
It's a really lovely path. Yeah. And it's just recently in the past couple of years has it opened. But it's a great way to get south of town on the east side of the river.
Totally. Yeah. So we rode that for probably about 20 miles, car free, just having a really good time, taking pit stops along the way. And, yeah, again, it was just a really wide diversity of industry folks and bike riders from all different segments of the bike world. And we ended up getting, we took some pit stops and we took some food stops. And, of course, like at the beginning of the day with every good bike ride, it's like, well, we have all day to pedal. Like,
right.
We don't need to hurry now. And as the energy started to lower and the sun began to set, we were like, okay, we like really need to like bear down. And ultimately it rained that day too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It came down pretty hard.
Like in sheets. Yeah. It was a lot.
So we, I guess got lucky and avoided the majority of it. It rained on us for probably like 20 minutes.
Yeah. I think most people donned a raincoat like twice.
Yeah. So
we only for like 10 minutes.
We stopped along the way. We met some cool people on the route, some different, some farmers along the way. And, it was just a really fantastic thing. And then we dropped down, we got to the hop fields, and that was, I think I'd been on the ride. Eric had been on the ride, Philip. And then I think we were the only three people that had previously done it. And so to my knowledge, the large part of the ride had never been to a hop farm, had never done something like this, had no idea what the connection was with, you know, the hop fields in Oregon, which is, you know, pretty significant for the beer world.
What are those green vines?
Yeah totally. I was like, what? Why? How are they growing up at 20 feet? And so
hit, they have a string.
Yes. Yeah. Spoiler. We ultimately got to the edge of the hop fields in Oregon. So there's kind of like a different segments of Oregon that are really strong in the hop growing region. And we stopped and got a chance to like pick some hops off the vines, break them open, get a good rub and smell them and try to explain like the significance of
I like the rub. Yes.
Yeah. It's called the brewer's rub. You got to heat up the oils inside and just something
just like that.
That.
Yeah.
And then smell your hands. And,
there we go.
And it's really this like sticky, sticky, delicate flower.
Yeah.
And so we got a chance to do that. And, then we ultimately got down to Gearcrest, set up shop, or camp.
Not, you guys had a fantastic campfire, it looked like.
Yes, we did. Again, Adam and Kayla, they do, they make the best food. It's just, I think ultimately, like, after any big bike ride, any food tastes good, but they, everything's grown there or like around there, and they just do a fantastic job.
They rocked it. Like, you know, we got what, the leftovers maybe, but they were still just amazing.
Yeah. And those folks are like the nicest people, like aside from like this, the whole like cargo bikes being weird thing, like they were super accommodating, super like, you know, the nicest people.
Totally. They're fantastic people, and, you know, lucky enough to call my friends now. And, so we stayed the night there again. Oh, and this is really great. You guys, so everybody started kind of like, we were sitting around the campfire. There's, you know, kind of a small-ish party around the campfire. And then as the sun began to set, people started peeling off to their tents. And ultimately, it was Eric and myself sitting around the campfire, and we were getting updates from Brock along the way. It's like,
right, I was trying to keep you informed. Just to let you know, like, you know, we're still out there. We're still coming.
In all caps.
40 miles out, 30 miles out, 20 miles out. And so Eric and I were just kind of like waning in and out of existence. And it's like, dude, they're going to be here in like an hour. And we're like, oh, cool. Like, stoke the fire.
It was really nice you guys to keep this. Yeah. I wanted nothing more than to sit next to a fire when I was done.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we had the food in the oven and the fire stoked. And then at one point we were both, asleep around the campfire, and I hear a sound in the distance, and I wake up and I see two bike lights coming down the driveway. And it was like, they made it. And it was like, Eric. And anyways, so we
Santa's here.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Really awesome. We were so psyched that you guys, I mean, you guys left town at what time?
We left at 6, right? I mean, like, we got out of town around 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. We probably didn't leave work, till about 5:30.
Yeah, yeah. We missed the Velocult mobile, right? Because they have this fantastic party trailer that they set up for bike events and whatnot. And didn't they bring that down?
Totally, yes. Guy brought his trailer out, and he was pouring beers out of that. And
that's amazing.
Because the trailer has kegs in it, and it also has like a barbecue or something.
Correct. Yes. Music, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's an old pop-up camper.
Oh, right.
That he got for a steal of a deal, because, you know, I don't know why, but yeah. And then he converted it. So he took kind of all the awnings out that normally when you pop up the camper, the awnings go with it. All that out, so it's kind of an open air pop-up, so it's got a roof, and then he kind of converted some of the inside, so you got a nice seating area. And then he's got the kegerator, I believe.
Yep.
And then some fold out areas on the outside of the camper for like a stove and other things. It's pretty amazing. And then he also painted it mostly black, and then with like orange, yellow, and red, kind of like a 70s flair, dude. It's
pretty cool.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, and I believe when I heard of the existence of the trailer, like on Facebook or something, I think the posting was like, no 10 by 10 tents for us.
Totally. So it's I think his whole idea with it is, you know, like taking it to the, like, he wants to be the party where you end up after a bike ride, or like set up like in the middle, like Mosier Mayhem or whatever, the 60-mile gravel ride. And he wants to just like bring it out, you know, and stick it in the middle of the forest 40 miles out there and not
You're
tell anyone.
Like, oh, hey, there's
all
beer.
All of a sudden you have a barbecue, you have beer, you have music, and like it just kind of rejuvenates the soul.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm sad we missed it. I got to see it yet sometime.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of posts. He's getting some good use out of it this year.
Yeah.
A lot of the cross races and whatnot.
More closely and show up.
Yeah. So you guys got to camp.
Yeah.
And Eric and I were just like, oh, hey, we're glad you made it. We're going to go to sleep.
Going to bed. Yeah. The experience of the hop farm I thought was super cool, because we got to not only did we get to take a Metro Feats and fill it with hops, just like pour them into
We got like a whole tour in history.
Yeah.
The next morning we woke up and we had coffee outside. Props to
Trailhead,
Prompted yeah. Trailhead. Charlie brought down wow. this yeah. just
the whole
insane contraption. Yeah. He has a built-out Metro Feats with a hand-blown glass funnel for water, this boiling contraption, and this rotary pour-over situation. And he was, I mean, he crushed it. He brought the whole thing down human-powered, which was really cool. And he made coffee for everybody the next morning, and that was
so good.
A really good start to the day. Again, Adam and Kayla made us some really great breakfast to get going.
Good breakfast.
And the one thing I didn't mention previously was the last 5 miles up to the farm was absolutely brutal.
Brutal.
It is just this hill that has 3 false summits, and you're just kind of like just going and going and going and. The good part about that is we got to bomb that in the morning. And so we had we were all jacked up on coffee, had a belly full of food. And what took us probably about an hour and a half to get from the hop farm to the farm, we bombed down in what, 20 minutes?
Yeah more or less.
It was just, 18 people on cargo bikes going 35 miles an hour down a hill.
Just trucking it. Yeah.
And those things handle amazingly well.
Totally.
I was really impressed. It's like I felt as stable on that as I would on any other bike.
Yeah. So we ultimately ended up at Goshi Farms, which is a hop farm outside of Silverton, Oregon. And Gail Goshi, the owner and operator of Goshi Farms, is a family-run business. This is their 112th harvest of hops at that farm.
That's pretty great.
So, yeah, the hop industry has been, been through a lot in Oregon, and their family specifically. So that was really cool. And she, she took, we were there for 2 hours probably. And she really did it upright for us. She took us on the full tour, got to see all the production. We went through pretty much from the time that the hops are picked from the vine through the entire processing into the kiln, into the drying room, into the baler, and then ultimately into our bikes.
Yeah.
And it was a really incredible process.
We each carried 35-pound bags of hops.
Yeah.
Was it 35 pounds?
Yeah, it was
thereabouts.
Somewhere around there, yeah. And so we ultimately, I think we picked up just over 200 pounds of fresh hops. And when I say fresh, so...
What kind of hops?
Fresh hops. So the hops are this really cool ingredient in beer that they're super hardy on the vine, but like once the flowers are picked, they are incredibly delicate, and so you have to do something with them pretty much immediately, whether it be running through a kiln and dry them out or add them to beer. It's a very delicate thing. And so what we did is we picked them, before they got to the kiln. And so they hadn't had any time to dry. They were just straight off the vine and loaded them into our bikes and raced cargo bikes back to Portland.
Yeah. And by raced, we mean legally and,
yeah,
within the bounds,
10 miles an hour.
That's right.
And so, yeah, we pedaled and pedaled and pedaled, and ultimately we got back to base camp probably around 6 o'clock, just in time to meet Paul, our brewer, to get him bagged up and throw him right into the beer.
Yeah, that was an exciting time.
Yeah, it was fun.
Watching it happen.
It was, there's a lot of parts about making beer that people don't, I didn't know before I got into the industry. Like it's, a lot of different connections through different industries and different steps along the way. And it's really cool to see everybody get into the brewery and bag up the hops and like literally get their hands on them and throw them, it was great.
I like the bucket brigade where we were all like tossing bags from one person to the next.
Totally. Yeah.
It was pretty fun.
Somebody got a really great video of that. It may have been you.
I think it might've been.
Yeah.
Cause I was holding the camera when I caught the bag. So the last part of the video is just me going, ooh.
I was thinking Jonathan Mouse actually.
Yeah. He might have also done that.
Yeah. Caught one.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Oh no, I had something.
Oh yeah.
You touched on it a little bit, but you talked about the Willamette Valley being one of the places you can make fresh hops. What makes a fresh hop fresh hop? How is it done the rest of the year or in other places?
There's a few fresh hop growing regions throughout the world, notably the Willamette Valley, the Yakima Valley, New Zealand, Germany. There's just like certain sectors throughout the world that have the proper climate for these. And, you know, again, we just happen to be living in, lucky to be living in one of them.
The best place in the world.
Willamette right. Valley. So, yeah, the weather, like, if we, all the hops that were, they had 500 acres of hops. And I think, I'm throwing a number out here, but I want to say that they were doing, like, 500,000 pounds of hops. It was, like, some ridiculous number. It's a massive amount of hops.
24 hours a day.
24 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Yeah.
Once they go, you go, and yeah. they don't stop,
mm-hmm.
Except for Sunday.
Yeah.
Eric brought up there's only a certain amount of the time that we can do this, these fresh hop beers, and now we're drinking fresh hop beers, and there's only about a short window for this opportunity to happen. And rest of the year, they run them through the full kilning process. Then they'll run them through the drying room, and then they'll bale them up and send them over to the hop brokers, and they can pelletize them and preserve them and refrigerate them. And we're able to use them for a much longer period of time rather than just like the fresh off the vine. We get a lot of our hops, well, 100% of our hops from Oregon grown farms. But this, you know, this very special time of year, we get them from this one specific farm.
Yeah.
And so ultimately we loaded them up in the beer. We brewed, what we call the Bread 11, fresh hop beer. And
that's the one I had.
Yeah.
And it was good enough that Aaron Flores drank some.
Yes.
Which yes. The really cool tie in with this whole thing is, Adam and Kayla from Gearcrest Farms. We ended up doing a farm to table dinner with them at the brewery for the release of the beer. And so they, we did a goat roast and they did a bunch of vegetables from their garden and they came up and served it up, to anyone that showed up at the brewery that night. And so did this kind of like really cool dual release and fundraiser for their farm, a release of the beer. And, so the beers, we have four fresh hop beers. They're all currently pouring and, we just today found out that we're going to be featured at the Handmade Bike and Beer Festival coming up.
Which is exciting.
Not this weekend, but next. And that beer will be featured at the event. So we're all really excited about that.
So what should people do with these beers?
Drink them.
Where should they drink them?
Wherever you can get them. At the Beer Mongers is one place that has a lot of fresh hop beers right now.
Where else are these beers?
These beers are at Basecamp Brewing Company. They have four of them on tap currently, and one of them made it into bottles.
Go to the Fresh Hop Festival in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Oaks Bottom. I think it's this next weekend.
This coming weekend. It's Oaks Bottom.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Get yourself some fresh hops.
So there's probably 40-some breweries sending fresh hop beers. It's a big festival, good times, music. Yeah.
What kind of hops?
Fresh hops.
That might have been the best one of all.
That probably was it.
Well, that was a good time. Thank you for thanks for telling us about it. It's a fantastic event. It's the sort of thing that should happen every year. So
totally. Well, we're year number three. Looking forward to number four.
That's right. Yeah, and you can do this yourself, right? I mean, like anybody could bike down and like get some hops, I suppose.
Yeah. So we set up what I feel like a pretty good route. You could theoretically. Right down there.
Just imagine like some rando showing up at like, you know, Goshi Farms. Hey, so I heard. Yeah.
Can I get like 20 hops, please?
Yeah, you might want to call ahead and pre-arrange it. Or
Right. You need a commercial account or anything? That's a good question.
Probably.
I got a pro tip.
Yeah.
If you just bike around that area in the harvest season, there's hops everywhere because they're falling off the trucks.
Oh, dude.
True.
If you don't mind some road hops.
Road hop beer.
Road hops. Throw them in the PBR.
What kind of hops?
Road hops. Throw them in the PBR. Make some hop tea in the morning. It's great. Get your... Get yourself some fucking road hops.
Some road hops.
Road hops.
Fabulous. Well, do you guys have time to hang out for the news and mail?
Sure. I'd love to.
All right.
Awesome.
Do we have news?
We do.
All right. Well, let's do some news.
I got three headlines.
Okay. Kind of.
I saw one of the news tips. It looks
what
awesome.
Can come sweet. With the thrill of a brand new bike.
I love
like my bike, it's rad. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city like...
We should all sing along with that every time it plays now. I know there's some people that don't like that song, so I'm sorry.
They're incorrect.
Yeah, well, they are. But, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah, leave
it's
a
free country.
Leave a review on iTunes.
That's right.
At least for a little while longer. So, on our calendar.
Depends how tonight goes.
Out on calendar, October 1st. Oh, hey, the calendar is kind of a depressing thing, by the way.
How so?
Like, in preparing this, in general, calendars are just depressing. No, in preparing this, I had to erase a bunch of things that had already happened that I missed out on. And
well, like, you know.
Oh, shit, I forgot to do all of these
things. That's why we put things on the calendar, so people can plan for them.
Right.
I haven't gone to every... I could not possibly go to everything on
the
calendar.
Well, that's true.
That looks more like a Word document to me.
Well, yeah, actually. I suppose.
I haven't exported it yet. So, first up, October 1st, Dr. Something's EP Rustic Machinery release party. And I don't know if there's still available, but there was a limited edition cassette for sale.
I ordered one. I'm going to have a cassette showing up soon.
October 15th, Brown Bear reunion show.
That's right. My friend Trent, who is also in the band that I'm in, Lumberjack, he's getting together the old guys.
Yeah.
And I'm playing with them. So.
Was he the drummer?
Yes.
Oh, that guy's awesome.
The last Lumberjack show you guys were both at.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
So you guys should come if you want. It's a house show. It's free. It's fun. You can bring your own beers. Made with what kind of hops?
Fresh hops!
Road hops.
Also.
October 21st through 23rd, Freak Bike Fall.
An establishment in Portland. It's it's when all the cool-looking bikes come out, and I believe there are Chariot Wars.
Are there Chariot Wars in Freak Bike Fall?
Yep.
Okay, all right. Because there's also Chariot Wars when Mini Bike Winter, so...
Oh, you're right.
No, it's Mini Bike Winter.
Okay. Well, there's going to be something cool happening with Freak Bikes.
There's a brunch off in which Grilled by Bike got third last year.
Second.
Nice.
No, we got it was third.
Brunch off?
Or... Yeah, at the Paz.
What is, like, you prepare brunch? Or, like, is it how many brunches you can stand in line in?
And no, still... yeah, you prepare brunch. You know, it's like a relay.
Okay.
You can have teams, you know, each manning. No, I'm just...
It was, you make clearly who won. I mean, like...
The belligerentes.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they did chicken and waffles.
Oh.
Portland's oldest Schwinn bike gang, and they... Yeah.
25 this year?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They're really good at food. You guys are good at food, too.
No, we're good at bringing the heat. Yeah, good at making food.
There's this apron that I keep on threatening to get Eric. It's the world okayest... cook.
Okay.
There you go.
I hardly ever bring food.
October 22nd. Oh, we haven't registered for this yet, Brock.
Can you yet?
I thought registration was open September 2nd.
Oh, maybe so. Okay. We're going to check in.
Double check this. October 22nd, disaster relief trials.
Yeah.
And that's imagining that the world has already gone to shit.
Yes.
And that you have to fix it with a cargo bike.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Because if anything's going to fix it.
I got to put that on my calendar.
October 22nd.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, Team Grilled by Bike. Disaster relief.
I did I think it might have been the first year, and yeah. I was wearing a big taco hat.
Yeah.
And I got featured on the damn FEMA.gov website.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Claim to fame.
FEMA.gov.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's fantastic.
That means they got a file on you.
Oh, no. That's JP's bachelor party weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, JP is getting married.
Hey, congratulations, JP.
All right.
Yeah. Also former podcast guest.
Yep.
Very cool. Good for him.
He's getting married in Thailand.
Oh, really?
I don't know where it is.
Whoa.
I don't know.
He's going to party here.
There you go. I would ask nothing less.
Yeah.
Wait, so the bachelor party's here, but the wedding is.
Yeah.
And then the reception. So they're doing like a 1, 2, 3, like.
These are not all consecutive days.
No.
Okay. All right. They're renting a Concorde.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So some headlines.
Oh, before, just on the calendar, just wanted to say, if there are events around the country or around the world that people want to share with us, we would like to share events with people. So you let us know, people.
JP in Thailand.
Everybody's invited.
Kayla would be so psyched if we all showed up.
Seriously.
So headlines. First off, we got some new donors.
Are those headlines? I guess they are.
Hey.
It's important.
Yeah. We got 5 new donors.
Holy shit.
Todd Tillinger, Harry Hubel, Ed Whitman, EJ Finneran, and Paul Culbertson.
Thank you so much, everybody. Seriously, it means a lot. And you know, I was just thinking it means a lot when like people chip in like $2 a month or something.
Yeah.
Because like if you give $20 a month, that's awesome, but like you can't do that forever. Nobody can.
No.
I mean, unless you can.
I don't even pay my student loan officer that much.
But no, it's like if everybody chips in like a buck or two, like that really helps us get to where we are. We got some walking around money now. It allows us to do cool things like make patches for all of the donors.
Ooh. And
walk
around.
The former donors and walk around, yeah. Because you can't do that for free.
Nope.
Could Paul be a short name for Robert? Is that a thing?
I don't think so.
Because I know a Robert Culbertson.
Oh, okay. Maybe they're brothers.
I'll ask him.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe like Robert's a middle name and that's what he normally goes by. This is like his official name.
Is his legal name?
That's his credit card name.
I hope we didn't drop any knowledge on the people.
Yeah. Now people are coming to your door, Paul. Paul Robert Culbertson.
This is the exciting stuff right here.
That's right.
All right. So from the Star Tribune, via a couple people, but I believe Anna Quenze gave this to us first.
Yeah, first.
Amtrak announces easier bike storage for cyclists traveling by train.
Woo! Yeah.
Forget the box. Amtrak has new baggage car racks on most all routes. Wow, that's a terribly worded sentence, Star Tribune. In a move to encourage more cyclists to tote their two-wheelers onto the rails, Amtrak has eased and expanded the storage of bicycles on nearly all of its routes across the U.S. Bicyclists will be able to hand their bike up to a conductor at the baggage car before boarding. For a $20 fee, your bicycle will be tagged and kept in a new baggage car bike rack until you leave the train.
Yeah.
Wow. This is good news. We've been waiting for this for a long time.
Yeah, this is great.
Eric and I just ran into an Amtrak train conductor at a Fresh Hop Fest.
What kind of hops?
Fresh hops. And he was really excited as an Amtrak employee to be able to host a service for cyclists.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't seemed for a long time like Amtrak is excited about bikes, but it seems like they're, you know, it's a big system, so it's hard to make changes all the way across the board. But there's finally ways to, yeah. And I believe the other person that sent this to us was...
Andre Johnson.
Yes, and he was like, come on out to MSP.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Now we have no excuse, right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. We're going to go to Minnesota, and we're going to ride bikes.
We're going
to
ride bikes for 24 hours.
At the Powderhorn, yeah.
Could have been.
Let us know, Andre.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So this came to us from Anna from SeattleElectricBike.net, which Seattle Electric Bike is a electric bike store.
Oh, cool.
Guess where? In Seattle.
I doubt it.
The title is Riding an Electric Bike. It's not cheating, and here's proof.
Really?
Yes. And so they cite two studies. They actually print these two studies almost verbatim.
Okay.
And I'm just stealing the graphs off of these. And these are sort of the average heart rates of these test studies that they've done. First off, we got a graph here. The blue is your regular commuter bike, and then the orange is your e-bike on your commute.
What's the third column there?
The third column?
To the right? Because orange is a higher heart rate?
Yes. So that is, I believe this is, that's your heart rate. Average power watts. So you have your average heart rate, your max heart rate, and your average power in watts.
So the heart rates, average, and max are
pretty
nearly
close.
Identical.
Yeah.
But then the watts are obviously much higher for the electric bikes.
Yep. And then the second study was someone just basically aggregating the data off of their own commute, which was like 18 miles with these various bikes. The Stormer and the Focus are both e-bikes. And then I believe I know the Specialized Cirrus is just your standard commuter bike, and I think the Cervelo is also just a standard commuter bike. And again, you can see the miles per hour is pretty big difference. Heart rate, fairly the same. Watts, some differences there. Time, obviously, is going to be different. But
you get the same workout with both.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yep.
Which
you just go
cool.
faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that.
It's
our buddy
not cheating.
JP.
Yep.
He just keeps on coming up in conversation.
Yeah.
He commutes, what, 20 miles by e-bike?
Yeah, he's out on like in the mid 100s and commutes to the west side.
It makes it far easier to do every day, I bet, to have the e-assist.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
I'm a big fan, and I'm happy to argue anyone on this show at a future date.
there was a while, like, we were going to try to set that up, right? E-bike, non-e-bike.
Nathan and I.
Point car,
that's right.
Point
and kind of either thing. One of us were happy to argue either side.
Oh, there we go. Perfect. You just like to argue.
Yes.
Perfect.
I think it's just based on throttle, right? Like, it's the ultimate decider.
Well, no, because there's the throttle ones, and then there's the assist ones where there's no throttle.
Yeah. I don't know. Save it for another episode.
Okay.
Well, Aaron, neither you nor I have an e-bike.
That is
true. But, you know, we do have.
What do we have?
Hey, we got mail.
Yeah, we got some reviews.
Yeah.
So our friend Aqua, this was...
What's up, Aqua?
Before she was a guest here. 5 stars on iTunes.
Aww.
Found this podcast shortly after moving into Portland a while ago. After listening to the first 100 shows, I felt like I lived in Portland for a decade. Since then, I've caught up and love how the episodes get better and better.
Stop.
I understand that if you live outside of Portland, some of the topics they talk about is just mumbo jumbo, but the general topics, with a global perspective, can still keep you hooked. I can't wait to see what happens next.
What kind of shows?
Fresh shows.
According to her logic, this is the best show ever.
That's right.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's not the best show in the world. It's just a tribute.
A guy named Tim5633SAL says, always enjoy the podcast. Also 5 stars. I have few people to talk bikes with. Feel like I'm just hanging out with the crew. Thank you.
You're right here with us, Tim. Thank you.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
And Paul Culbertson, again, new donor.
That's right.
Robert.
A.K.A.
Paul.
Robert.
Paul Robert.
Sorry, Paul.
This is a great podcast, !! I love that it explores other modes of transportation in life. Listen to it, and you will love it, !!
I like the !! Because, yes, like, one is just standard. Three is probably hyperbole, but yes, two means that he's genuinely excited.
You are genuinely, that's true.
Yeah, that was a Facebook review. Apparently you can review us on Facebook. So.
Wow.
Thank you, folks. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let us know what you want to hear, because we want to keep on bringing stuff that you're interested in.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, what we can do better. I don't want to just always, like, live off of... You know, 5-star reviews.
That's right. You know. That's right.
Though it feels pretty good.
It does.
But they're empty calories.
Maybe.
It feels good at the time, but you don't get a whole lot of substance out of the deal.
I feel like that's how, like, you know, the Tom Cruises of the world operate.
Yes.
Is like they just have this crew of people who tell them how great they are all
right,
the time.
Right, right.
Then you end up doing crazy stuff.
I mean, yeah. I have a job that, like, sort of keeps me...
Granted, Tom Cruise is amazing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he also has that. You guys ever notice he has a middle tooth?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Now most people have like some small gap between their front teeth.
Top or bottom?
Top.
I'm pretty sure top, right?
Top, yeah.
He's just got like one big tooth in the middle.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
Like Family Guy, it's just like one.
Kind of, yeah. So
Google image search Tom Cruise tooth. Just make sure, make it singular.
There it is.
What?
Yep. Make it bigger.
Type it into a thing. There it is. You see it.
Number one.
Yep. Right there in the middle.
What?
They have...
Looks like the front of a Cadillac.
For those of you listening, they have it broken down by segments, and it is clearly right in the middle.
Yep. Holy shit.
I mean, that photo makes it look as though perhaps it's just like kind of shifted to one side.
I mean, it just kind of looks like his top jaw maybe malformed a little bit.
Oh, no, his top jaw is flawless, as is the rest of Tom Cruise.
I think maybe he pulled too many G's in Top Gun and it just like shifted to
that was probably it, yeah.
This is a great side by side here.
Danger zone.
Yeah. Apparently he had braces.
So lastly, we got a tweet from a Gypsy Infantry. I've never in my life wanted to go to Portland.
Really?
However, listening to your podcast has made me consider it.
Consider it.
5 stars.
There we go. All right. Well, all you other folks, all you folks not considering Portland, consider it.
At least.
Yeah.
But don't move here. No, I'm just
at the very least consider it.
Enjoy your visit.
As Governor Tom McCall said, we're glad you're here. Please don't stay.
Really? That was a thing?
Yeah, it used to be on the signs when you came, like, welcome to Oregon. Please don't stay.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell?
And so, no honking your horn, goddammit.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. This is a big thing.
It's that's there's a lot more of that
these past days,
hasn't there?
Yeah. And we were just discussing the other day, honking your horn outside of a vehicle is much greater than when you're honking your horn inside of a vehicle.
Like, it's
you know.
It's much more startling.
Totally.
Yeah, right.
Definitely.
Well, you talk about if you lean into the vehicle to honk the horn? From the outside.
Yeah, from the outside.
As the great Mitch Hedberg, which Eric's wearing a shirt of, says you should only get 3 honks a month.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Shit, I wish I wouldn't have seen Jimmy on the sidewalk.
Thanks for coming in, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you
for
having us.
This is
fantastic, yeah.
Is there anything else we need to say before we're done?
I just got one quick thing.
Yes.
Did you hear about the Dutch Reach?
No.
What?
I just saw it today.
No idea.
The Dutch Reach.
The Dutch Reach. What
the
is
it? The Dutch Reach. It's very valuable for anyone driving a car.
Okay.
All right, Flora's looking it up.
How the Dutch Reach could save lives.
Exactly. Okay. The Dutch Reach
from
can
outside
save
magazine.
Lives.
No one knows what the Dutch Reach
clearly
is.
Never
so,
heard of that now. Eric is going to be the best.
Yeah, I can describe it.
Okay.
Yeah, here.
So let's say you're driving your car and it's a left-hand drive car. Instead of opening the door with your left hand and popping it out, which is all too common, you reach with your right hand, thus turning your head to gain peripheral. And maybe you might even look to the left a little bit. And then you open the door with your right hand, the Dutch Reach.
Okay.
Oh.
Interesting.
I see.
You know,
open the door with your farthest away arm.
There you go.
It would be pretty cool to somehow one day or someday wake up to all these on-street parking spots having Dutch Reach painted in them. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody do this, but it would be cool to see. And then people would go like, what is the Dutch Reach? And then they would look it up.
Portland be like, Bureau of Transformation.
I don't know. I'm not.
Whoever
look,
that is.
You know, hey, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. It's going to
be
beautiful.
Huge.
It's going to be huge. I'm just saying, we got a Bill of Rights. And, you know.
We still got time. We can get to debate.
No.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Let's watch this video about the Dutch Reach.
There's some real masters debating out there.
There's no debate. The Dutch Reach is a good thing.
There's certainly no cunning linguists.
I was just going to say that I'm not saying anything about anything. I'm not telling anybody to do anything. So please don't think that I am. But if you know about wheat paste, I'm just saying. Like, that would be one way to encourage
wheat paste
people to learn about the Dutch Reach. I'm just saying that in a hypothetical situation, someone could paste up a bunch of posters that said Dutch Reach.
You would have to have, an infographic. Otherwise, it could be seen.
You could just say, like, Google Dutch Reach.
If it's too close to Devil's Point, it might be weird.
True. True. But I heard that costs extra. All right, we're done.
It's Dutch Reach Fridays.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herb Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katharina Mellumgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson.
He's here. Woo! Cameron Lean, Richard Bazinski, Tim Mooney.
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly.
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller.
Todd Parker, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt.
Zoe Campagna, Dave Knows, Chris Smith.
Christy Kaster, Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley.
Who's getting married?
Yeah.
Peter Butterjar, Matt, Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole.
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson.
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista.
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, King of Division.
Josh Zissen, Richard G. Guthrie Straw.
Brandon Shelby, Campsite, Aaron Green.
Mac, Nurse David, Catherine Mitchin, Nathan Fulton.
Chris Rawson, Rory Close, Michael Flournoy.
Jeremy Kitchen, David Belays. Is that how you say it? Tell me, David. Tim Coleman.
Todd Tillinger, Harry Hubel, Ed Whitman.
EJ Finneran. What's up, man? And Paul.
Robert.
Possibly Robert Culberson. And all of our former donors who helped us get this far.
His name is Robert Paulson.
His name
is Robert
Paulson. Brush your teeth.
And go to bed.